Keep breathing. Gently in. Come in through your nose and let it go through, and then gently out through your mouth. Create a full flow of the life-giving air. And on the next breath, breathe up. Up to the highest part of your being. Up at the top. At the highest part. It's what we call our superconscious mind. It's the mind within us, or the aspect of mind within us, that remembers God, that remembers truth, that remembers love, that remembers joy and wisdom. So I like to begin with the superconscious mind in me is awake now. Those of you who care to, would you know that with me? The superconscious mind in me is awake now. Let a light flow from the superconscious mind in you, and let it flow through your whole being. Let it flow through your vision. Let it flow through your hearing. Let it flow through your voice, that you see the truth, you hear the truth, and you speak the truth. Let it flow through every cell, every tissue, every fiber of your being, from head to toe and toe to head. That the superconscious mind in you be what informs your cells. Because our cells have intelligence, and they hear what we tell them. So we see the truth, we hear the truth, and we speak the truth to every aspect of our being. We tell our being about the good that we are, the good that we have always been, and the good that we will always be. We tell our being about the good of our neighbor. Truth of our neighbor, the part that cannot be changed. We tell our being about life and life everlasting. That life did not begin with this body, and it will not end with this body. The superconscious mind in me is awake now. Let's take that thought into the silence and rest there a bit. The superconscious mind in me is awake now. So take another conscious breath. So we start our journey back here. Back here to this sanctuary, this place called Unity. As we come back, let us come back refreshed, renewed, and fully aware of the good that has just taken place, that we may say thank you and amen.
Sean,
I am too.
That was a good God idea that was revealed to us.
This was Rick's idea that we do a dialogue together.
I'm talking about going back to you being here.
Oh, well, yeah, there's that too.
Rejoining us in this way.
Yeah. We got a little reverb going on up
we
here.
We do have reverb.
Yeah, now we don't.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you just have to comment. Things will change. Are we dim? Is it dimly lit here? We have less light than usual.
No, don't do too much.
We have a tan.
Leave a little Doris Day gauze on that can.
So, is there anybody here today looking to be offended? Anybody leave the house? I thought so. Yeah, we knew you guys. Anybody leave the house today just itching to find some way to pick at what Britt and Sean say? No.
What?
No, so you'll just be surprised when it happens. Joyfully surprised. I find that it's often when we do things like this, when we introduce these spiritual principles in their black and white way, that somebody says, well, that's not really true. And of course it is. Of course it is. Our talk today is called What Matters Most. And I think we need to get on board with that. What matters the most to me? Do my resentments matter the most? Does my poverty matter the most? I think we use a lot of stuff as distraction to what we want. You know, I think it's great that we want to save these people trapped in this mine. I think it's fantastic. But do not let that be a distraction from what matters most in your heart. These people cannot be the exception to spirit. You know, yes, it's wonderful that they get rescued while we're sitting here. How many of you are going to go out and feed all the homeless today? How many of you are going to go out and take care of all your fellow persons who could use a hand? It's a nice idea, especially if somebody else does it. And then we can say, oh, isn't God good? But how many of us today are going to wake up to the divine idea of health? And it's not just a theory. It is a divine idea that can be manifested in every single cell of our being for all beings. And how many of us today are going to wake up to the realization of the divine idea of wealth? And that there is more than enough to meet all of our needs and all beings' needs. And how many of us are going to wake up to the divine idea of harmony and well-being, and that peace can prevail amongst all beings? And the ones we don't like aren't as important as we thought. What's more important is to wake up to the divine idea. So it tells me that what matters most is the divine idea and waking up to it, so that we can put more puppies and kittens on our Facebook postings instead of our preferences and our hates. What do you think?
I think those are great reminders of truth.
Mm-hmm.
Because none of this is new information. We're here to be reminded. We're here to peel away what we have learned and to get back to that place of pure truth. And we haven't done a Lessons in Truth class in and of itself in a couple of years now. We're going to do one very soon. But it's often been said in unity circles that if there is a textbook for unity, it is probably Lessons in Truth. That is probably the closest you will come. How many of you have read Lessons in Truth before? Okay, that's a good number.
How many of you remember it?
Okay, we're going to do a test, because let me tell you, I bet I have led, facilitated, and taught this class 20 times over the years. I have run out of colors of highlighters to highlight. Who is it? Somebody said that Emily Cady sneaks into your house
at night and rewrites the book.
Because there's stuff like, when? I've never seen that. Yeah, I've never seen this. And because we're always unfolding into a new place also. So that helps Emily to sneak in and put new information in the book each brand new time that we read it. But Sean, made copies of.
In your bulletin, you should have received
Bondage and
Liberty. The first page of the first chapter. And if you don't know, Charles Fillmore saw an article written by Emily Cady. Emily Cady was the first female homeopathic doctor in New York. She was never at Unity Village, but Charles Fillmore, Unity's co-founder, read an article by her, and then he commissioned her to write a series of 12 articles. And this first chapter, Bondage or Liberty or Witch, was actually the 12th article she wrote, and they turned it into the first chapter of the book. And you'll notice it says here, in entering upon this course of instruction. That's what Unity is. It's a course of instruction. And each of you should, so far as possible, lay aside for the time being all previous theories and beliefs. By so doing, you will be saved the trouble of trying all the way through the course to put new wine into old wineskins, which means that we are not going to find a way to make our misery more manageable. A lot of us do that. We enter 12-step recovery, we enter Unity, we enter New Thought to try to find a way to maintain our misery, but to manage it better so that we're not too miserable.
Now, before you go on, I was just told that a lot of people do not have this insert into the bulletin. Wow.
Did we run out in the back?
I stuffed everything we had into every bulletin.
Okay. Well, I apologize. Share with your neighbor, please. We can make it easy. Share. There you go. So moving on. If there is anything, as we perceive, which you do not understand or agree with, just let it lie passively in your mind until you have read the entire book. For many statements that would at first arouse antagonism and discussion will be clear and easily accepted a little further on after the course is completed. If you wish to return to your old beliefs and ways of living, you're at perfect liberty to do so. But for the time being, this moment, be willing to become as a little child, said the Master. Britt, do you want to read these finally be strong quotes from the Bible?
I do, but I want to reiterate that because so many of you do not have this. Isn't that wonderful that she begins this book? Now again, this was the 12th article that was moved when it was made into a book, put at the very beginning, to just for now lay aside whatever you believe. The willingness to lay it aside, and at the end of all of this course of study and instruction, you can go back and pick it back up.
For this moment, there are no politicians. There is just spirit. There is just health. There is just well-being.
Can you breathe that in? Just health, well-being, spirit.
There are no parents. There are no children. There's brother and sister.
Ephesians 6, verse 10 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And in Philippians 4, verse 8, it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things.
So she goes on to say, Every man, every woman, believes himself to be in bondage to the flesh and to the things of the flesh. All suffering is the result of this belief. The history of the coming of the children of Israel out of their long bondage in Egypt is descriptive of the human mind or consciousness growing up out of the animal or sense part of man into the spiritual part. Imagine yourself right now without an opinion.
Just imagine.
I feel my knees starting to buckle because I would be no thing without my many opinions. Even the positive ones, they're still just an opinion. And they're very valuable to me, and they're actually quite valueless. Because my opinions, they're just opinions. They're not the truth. And I've talked about this before, the difference between truth and what is not truth. What is true cannot be changed. It has no opposite. You cannot change it. And so that is what is true. That's what's real. If it can be changed, it's not the truth. It's just an experience for the time being based on my current thoughts. So if we can get in alignment with that and understand, rather than, well, this is my truth. No, it isn't. It's my opinion. It's what I'm thinking right now. It's my current understanding. I used to think that I worked my brains out to get to know God, to develop a relationship with a power greater than myself that was magnificent and liked me all the time. And here's the thing. Every time I thought I knew God, God went and changed on me. So it told me it's not God actually that changes. It's my understanding of God that keeps changing. And just as I expand into this, there's room to expand even more. Do you agree?
I do agree. God is infinite. And I think it's important to establish that difference between truth and opinion. That's really, really, really powerful. That's really deep stuff, because we so often think, well, that's my truth, as you said.
That's the new thing to say.
It's my truth. And isn't it wonderful, especially right now and in this moment where we don't have an opinion, right? You don't have an opinion in this moment?
No.
Whatever. Breathe.
I'm melting into that.
But isn't it great to know that, to be reminded, to come to this place together and be reminded that we're not bound to what we have been thinking? We're talking about liberty or bondage, and we are not bound to what the news is telling us. We're not bound to what we're hearing. We're not bound to any of that. In truth, we're free.
Yeah, our likes and our dislikes, we make proclamations to the world of what we think. Years ago, David was mixing a Nancy Lamont album, and he was playing it in the car, because he does that. He plays it everywhere, so it sounds even everywhere. If you ever buy a CD, you'll know, oh, this sounds good. But there was one song on it that I did not care for, and I was about to make my proclamation to him. And I heard the voice that said, Sean, don't. It doesn't matter whether you like it or not. And let me tell you something else. It will only make your life better if this album sells millions of copies. Do not criticize it in any way.
There are things in the outer that can be good.
It doesn't matter whether I like the song or not. Lots of people do. That's why it's a big hit song. And don't ask me later what it is, because I'm not going to tell you.
And if we all liked the same thing, there would be no Baskin Robbins.
Or when there would be an enormous ice cream cone with all the flavors. But I don't know how many of you have read this book. It's a wonderful book. You can get it on Amazon. It's called The Holy Spirit's Interpretation of the New Testament. It's one of my favorite. I feel like I'm in the mind of Holy Spirit when I read it. And I want to read that quote, that Bible passage from Ephesians. And it comes from chapter 6, verse 10. And it says, you are the free son of God. And that includes men and women. It is not a gender. It's a capital S. And it says, coercion can have no influence over you. You may decide what you want. Ask for what you want, and you will receive in kind. Look, therefore, within your heart. Know what you truly want before you ask. In this way, you only receive blessings upon your true desire, which is of God. Every thought taken up as desire is prayer. All prayer is answered through God, just as you have asked. Be mindful, therefore, of that which you ask. Watch yourself and know yourself, capital S, as you ask. So go within and ask, what is it I want? Because we often think we want this or that, you know, we just get rid of this one and just do that. When really, what we want is, I don't want to be afraid anymore. And if I just get rid of this, I won't be afraid. If I get rid of, I don't want to be sick anymore, so if I just get rid of this, I won't be sick. Oh, if I just could get money, then I won't be poor. Oh, if I could just get a relationship, then I'll be happy. And clearly, if you think that, you've never been in a relationship.
majority of that scripture is talking about asking, and don't we think that asking is something out there, outside of us? And then the very end of it says, "Go within." It's like, well, that doesn't match up with ask. That's the important thing to remember, that we're living life from the inside out.
Be still and know, it says. And what is ask but a subtle command? I think it was Butterworth, I don't remember if it was Butterworth or Fillmore, who said, when you go and ask for your paycheck, you expect to receive your paycheck. You don't go, hope it's there.
Well, sometimes.
But overall, you're still expecting. And so I've come to understand in my practice that often when I go out into the world asking for what I want, I am expecting to get what I'm asking for. And so if it's not happening, if I'm not seeing it manifest, then I've got to look at, well, what is it I think I'm asking for? What is it I truly want? And am I being big enough? Is my request big enough? Is my idea big enough for who I am? And I've seen people affirm lots of things. But here's the funny part. Many of you have heard me talk about this. When we're asking in prayer, it's not God somewhere that we're asking. Even though the Bible seems to give that impression, and Sunday school teachers give that impression, and many Unity ministers give that impression. It's not God, a form that we're asking. It's ourselves. We are asking ourselves to give it to ourselves. And let's get very clear here. You wouldn't be asking, and I wouldn't be asking if we didn't think it existed. Let's get very clear. The only reason we ask is because we think what we want exists somehow, in some way, in our experience. And so understand now, you're asking yourself to give it to yourself. Assume that God, whatever God is, has already given it. And now you're asking yourself to become willing to see it. Now, as far as stuff goes, material stuff, we see people all the time. My goodness, they're willing to give themselves a lot of stuff materially because they believe they have the money for it and they can do it and it's fun for them. It's a great passion for them. And as long as it doesn't become the object of their existence, they're fine. It's when it becomes the object of their existence that they start to fear losing it, fear that it could be taken away. But in the meantime, lots of people have gotten well. Lots of people who have been very, very sick have gotten well. Now, a lot of people have died. So I can't tell you death is bad either. And let's stop pretending that it is, as if we know the difference. We just know some people live very well, and other people live in a struggle. And some people leave their bodies and go somewhere else that we're not currently aware of. And we have feelings about it all. But our feelings are not fact finders. Our feelings are based on our opinions. Our feelings, our thoughts. They're based usually on some past event. But what if you and I and Britt eliminated the word bad from our vocabulary? It just no longer exists. There is nothing that is bad. There's stuff I like and there's stuff I don't like. And there's stuff that brings up feelings or, you know, sensations that makes it easy to be me. And there's other stuff that makes it really hard to be me. But there is no bad. There is the eternal good, capital G, good, which has no opposite. But there's not one bad thing. Just because I don't like it, just because I'm uncomfortable, doesn't make it bad. Are you willing to get on board with that? Okay, are you?
I am, along with the four other people that just said
that. That's fine.
It does start. And the thing to me is, you're talking about the asking that is so important to remember, is we're always doing it. We're always asking. It's kind of like we always have our faith. And where are we putting our faith? Our faith is always in action. We're always asking. So why not move that awareness into our consciousness? And I'd love to replace the word bad with clarity. on what I like, what I don't like. Instead of labeling, we are labeling everything what it is. We're labeling good or bad, so let's get rid of that.
I want clarity. I'm willing to see. We kept declaring, I'm willing to see. And I assume that God is good, so God, you show this to me because I want to see it as God would see it, not a human God, but, you know, as principle would see it, as spirit sees it. Britt and I are doing a workshop this afternoon, and it's called The Dialogue Continues. And the dialogue is going to continue with everyone who shows up, with everyone, because their questions are welcomed. And we will seek to get correct perception on how to have an even better spiritual life, and how to even to know ourselves even better, so that we would, in faith and confidence, go into prayer, so that we would, in faith and confidence, go into our wallet or our pocket, so that we would, in faith and confidence, go into our relationships. And here's the coolest thing about this afternoon. There's going to be cake to celebrate the anniversary.
Yes. 1,000 pieces of cake for the service. So bring your appetite and your sweet tooth this afternoon. Now, I'm going to guess, I'm going to assume, there's that word,
yes,
that many of you show up here on Sunday mornings or in workshops or in classes with questions. And some of you are still carrying those questions. And we wanted to create a space this afternoon for you to come to the safest place possible to ask whatever question about this journey, about spirit, that you've been carrying with you. Or it could be brand new, something that is sparked, that's been lying dormant, that was sparked by something that happened here together this morning. So we hope that you will join us, and with the cake, we'll be preparing for the next 1,000.
Yeah, now we're not there to argue this afternoon. We're there to discuss. And it's funny, your question could inform 6 other people.
And usually does.
Yeah, lots of people have the same question. But the question is, what matters most? And how do I discover what matters most to me? How do I discover it? How do I go into my heart safely and realize, oh, it's safe to be uncomfortable. It's safe to feel foolish. And it's safe to be in love. And it's safe to be wealthy. And it's safe to be healthy. And it's safe. We no longer need our defenses. And we no longer need lack. That's the thing about awakening. That's the thing about living an extremely prosperous life. It will cost you your lack. Which is unbearable to some of us. But it'll cost us our complaints, and it'll cost us all the bad. And so please join us over at St. Michael's at 2:00 for a dialogue continuing and cake.
And remember that everything begins with the spark of a divine idea. Everything. I love that later in the book, in Lessons in Truth, Emily Cady talks about desires. Now I've forgotten exactly how she put it, tapping on the door of your subconscious.
Yeah.
By the time you are realizing what that desire is, it means it's already been set in motion, or you wouldn't be realizing it. So just know that the fact that we're here together today on this 1,000th Sunday of Unity in New York started with a divine idea that came forth. And there's a song that I think sums it up quite well. And let's all take courage, take heart.
We'll see you over there.
We're willing?
Yes.
Hallelujah.